Morning, everyone. It's a lovely privilege this morning to stand before you guys, and I pray that that's not my words that are said here today. I pray that the Lord speaks through me and I'm just a vessel for him. Can we just please turn to 1 John chapter 1, please? So it's not the Gospel of John, 1 John. 1-7 there. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim it to you, what we have seen and heard, and so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare it to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies from all sin. So to give you a little bit of context here, when I first became a believer, I thought once you got saved, that was it. It's great. I've been saved from my sins. That's it. But hopefully by the end of this, we'll understand actually that is just the beginning. That is the beginning of our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, to be more like him. So can I just ask everyone just to close their eyes just for a little bit? Promise you I'm not going to do anything weird, funny like that. Just close your eyes. I'm going to read a story to you. And just imagine. So just imagine for a moment you're in a prison cell. You've been locked up and you have thick, cold chains and shackles around your hands and feet. You're guilty of all the crimes you've been accused of and you're waiting further punishment. While you're waiting to the worst imaginable punishment that you can think of, in walks this mighty man, this saviour. He takes that punishment for you. He who knew no sin took that punishment for you. Let us just remember that. He who knew no sin took the punishment for you. He died for you. As you turn from your sins to him and get to know more about him, this is the act of repentance. By turning to him, you find yourself forgiven. As that happens, you notice your chains fall off. Instead of being guilty, you're innocent. Instead of being in a prison cell, you are now free. So everyone can open their eyes now there for me. This is where, like I said earlier, is where the gospel... this is where most people think the gospel finishes. But it doesn't. It doesn't have to be that way. It is the start. The Lord has so much more plans for us. We've been given the good news and have been saved from our sins through repentance and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. So the aim of the sermon is to understand the meaning of the Great Commission and why we do it. So looking at Matthew 16, we can see that the Lord Jesus was speaking to the remaining of the 11 disciples. They went to the mountain and met with him. Going to a mountain or high place is where it was suggested where people went to meet with God. This occurred after the Lord's resurrection, where they were meeting with God in the flesh, who is the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Matthew 28:17-18, so it reads, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. So He gave them this teaching as a commandment. The last commandment the Lord Jesus gave to us. This is known to Christianity as the Great Commission. This was a teaching that was that founded the birth of the church. It is the teaching that is the responsibility of every believer, young and old, male and female, in leadership and the church congregation. It is all of our responsibility to practice the Great Commission. Verse 17, the disciples came to the Lord and worshiped him. So whenever we want to do anything for the Lord, we should seek to worship and draw close to the Lord Jesus. When we are in him, we have all the power and authority that is mentioned in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you." We can find a supernatural power and authority over heaven and earth as the Lord Jesus died on the cross, and he's able to do this as he's won all authority over sin and death. I've seen that power acted out in people. I've seen that power when we've been on the streets and you've preached to a group of youngsters that won't stop to tell you the time of day, and they are engrossed of what the Lord Jesus has done for them, who the Lord Jesus is. If that is not power, I don't know what is. John 14, 12 to 14. So if we read that, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So what we've seen there as well is like the Son is telling us that we've got authority to do much greater things than he did on that time of earth. So we can take that as an assurance. Wherever we go, we've got the power and authority of Jesus if we do it in his will. Verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Lord Jesus speaking to when we read these verses? We need to understand this, who the Lord Jesus is speaking to, so to give us the true meaning of those of that sentence and an object of the context and our responsibilities as Christians. Was he just speaking to the 11 disciples? Or was he speaking to a wider audience? This is crucial to understand, as it affects the teaching. So to help us with this, we need to use... I read the King James, but we're going to use the King James just to explain it in a little bit in further detail. So the KJV uses archaic English to help more closely interpret from the original text. So in verse 19, the KJV reads as follows. So, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. When the scriptures were first translated, they were translated from many different languages. So Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek, and Latin into a common tongue like English. The translators like William Tyndale used archaic English to get the closest word for word translation as possible. And in some cases, that to make up words like that didn't even exist in the English language. or concepts that didn't even exist in the English language. These were things like begotten and propitiation, and the concept like the judgment seat. Archaic English is what you see in the writings of Shakespeare. So looking at the pronoun of the word ye means you in modern English. Other pronouns for you in archaic English are thee and thou. This would be used in a sentence when speaking to a single person or an individual. Whereas ye and you would be used for a group or multiple people. So the word used in the KJV is ye. I believe that the Lord Jesus was speaking to the disciples and a wider audience, the church. He was speaking to you and me. The Lord Jesus was telling all of us to go and make disciples of all nations. How do we make disciples? Disciples are made by preaching and teaching others about the Lord Jesus. Preaching to people on the street, going door to door, telling people about the Lord Jesus and edifying his name. That lady next to you, that works next to you, telling her about the Lord Jesus. That is making disciples. What do we teach others? So verse 20, we teach them about the Lord Jesus' teachings, laws and commandments. This is why it is crucial that we read the Word of God and have an understanding and knowledge so that we're able to answer difficult questions. We all need to be apologists. That word apologists is not saying sorry. It is having an explanation to explain things. We need to be able to explain things to others when they ask us questions. We should all strive to gain a better understanding. This is not in our own strength, but from God. And we can get this from James 1:5. So if we just have a quick turn to James 1:5. So I'll read it for us. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. So we might be saying, well, I don't have the Bible knowledge. I don't have the understanding. If we truly seek the Lord and we truly spend time with the Lord, he will give it to us generously. We do not need to do this on our own. The Lord Jesus will always be with you to the very end of the age. I went to the spring meeting on Friday evening and I was really encouraged by the speaker there, and he gave a brilliant example of how the Lord is always with us, and I've kind of like nicked it just to be part of my teaching. I'm sure Paul wouldn't mind, but it's an amazing example of what the Lord does for us and how he protects us. So Paul was explaining when he used to go with walks with his daughter when she was little. She always asked him to hold on her dad's hand. And he agreed to this, so she would hold on to his hand while they're walking along. But when things got dangerous, like when they were going near a cliff edge, Paul explained to his daughter and said that he needed to hold on to her hand. And what he did is he held tightly on her hand. Just in case she fell, he'll be able to catch her. The Lord Jesus will always be with us. Even when we are weak, he has our hand and he'll never let us go. So just remember, it's not in our strength, it's in His strength. He is the one that is helping us along the way. We just need to put our trust in Him. You might be sitting there thinking, how can I go to others about the Lord Jesus? I'm not a confident or charismatic person to stop someone on the street and talk about God. I'm not a Creft O'Donnell. I'm not Billy Graham. You don't need to be a big preacher to stop anyone on the street and tell them about the Lord Jesus. I've seen people that have very low social skills, and yet they have spoken to others about the Lord Jesus and have found a confidence in Him to be able to give the gospel. If we read Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who had begun a good work will carry it on to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. If we trust in the Lord, He will help and guide us along the way. I say this respectfully and with reverence to the apostles. If God can use fishermen and tax collectors, some of the lowest of individuals in society, He can use you and me. Amazing things can happen when we put our, when we truly put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. God can use us all. I'm not all saying that we need to stand on the soapbox in the middle of Birmingham and preach the gospel. However, what we can do is aim to serve the Lord through the church for the glory of the gospel. Lastly, why do we do this? Why do we go out and preach to others and tell them about the Lord Jesus? Is it to help get others saved? And I'm going to be a little bit controversial here and say, no, it's not. The sole aim, the sole reason for going out and telling people the good news is to give glory to the Lord Jesus. If individuals get saved along the way, that is great. This means every time we go out and give the gospel, it is for the glory and the worship of the Lord Jesus. And that is what's shown in John 1:7, is that when they saw what was from the beginning, they saw with their own eyes and they looked with their own hands and touched. They proclaimed the word of life. They proclaimed it to other people. The life appeared. We have seen it and testify it. We proclaimed you of eternal life, which is with the Father. And this is so that they can have fellowship with one another. So when we proclaim in the gospel, when we go out and proclaim it to others, it is also for our fellowship as believers with one another. I would encourage you, if you haven't given your life to the Lord Jesus, please have a think about the scriptures we've read this morning. And I pray that you can pray for God to reveal Himself to you. Amen.